In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. I am going to begin again what I started yesterday, and I will be doing this for as long as I need to do it, because this is a prophetic warning, and I believe it's real, and I might be wrong, but I believe it's real, and I need to warn people about the coming experience that we're going to be having. I might be wrong, but you know what? I need to warn people. First of all, I want to take you back to 2005. I received a prophetic word. And the prophetic word was on New Year's Eve, and the prophetic word was that the Lord himself was chastising his church. I was just on the phone with a very important person in the church. I will not tell you who. And I said, the Archdiocese of Boston has cursed itself by what we're doing, by what we're doing to priests that have been thrown out and not cared for. I said, the Archdiocese of Boston has cursed itself. And this very important person said, I totally agree with you. But you know what? I want to remind you of what I said, of what I thought God said in the year 2005. It was the Lord calling his people back. It was the Lord Jesus Christ calling his people back to himself, was the essence of it. That he had said that we had relied not upon him, but upon the ways of the world. And as a result of having business as usual, he said, as far as I know, it could have been me, that he would bring the church lower than the manger. But it was not to break us, but that we would know that we had only one husband, and that it was the Lord Jesus Christ himself, and that we would come back to him. The Lord's discipline is never to break people. The Lord's discipline is to show that he calls us back to himself. Now, we see this in the Bible over and over again, but people don't believe the Bible. You know, it's all a myth, but it's not. We see that Israel was sent off to Babylon for 70 years. And no matter what the good prophet said, that they would come home very rapidly, the prophet, Jeremiah, said 70 years. And 70 years it was. It was not to destroy God's people, but that the Lord had warned Israel over and over again through the prophets, that they were worshiping other gods, and that if they did not obey, they would suffer, and that in the suffering, they would learn. Now, this is real. This is real. They call this the discipline of the Lord, and whether people believe in the discipline of the Lord or do not believe in the discipline of the Lord, the discipline of the Lord is real. Read the letter to the Hebrews. And God disciplines those whom he loves. And who could he love more but his church? It is the spouse of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? But you see, you can be the spouse of the Lord Jesus Christ and play the harlot. I was taught in the seminary by a bishop now, Bishop Edovan, that the church can be both the chaste virgin and the prostitute. And when we play the prostitute, we pay for it, okay? And how do we prostitute? You know, in the Old Testament, they would worship on the hills. Baal and Asherah, we now prostitute by becoming CEOs rather than pastors. I did not say that. John Paul II said that to bishops in the United States. You are not CEOs, you are pastors. Okay, so the word that I received was a call to the church to repent. That's what I received. All of us, to repent. I was also told that between the year 2005 and 2010, he would teach us how to pray, and he would teach us how to fast. Well, you know what? I did a 40-day fast, but I have not been taught how to fast, and I do not think I've been taught how to pray either. You know, I'm not blaming God.
anyone to blame. It's myself. Anyway, the point is, he told us between 2005 and 2010 would be a time to learn how to pray, to find our knees, and to fast. That's what I thought he said. Again, our prophecies are imperfect, but I gave it. And that he said that he would bring the church, his bride, lower than the manger. Now, if you know what a manger is, it's a place where animals are kept, fed, and there's lots of mess in the manger. That's what he said, all right? At least that's what I thought he said. I can only tell you, you know, our prophet's imperfect, but I believe he said that. I might be wrong, but I do believe he said that. Okay, so I received this from Judy and Keith in 2008, and it says, I'm sending this to you. There was a strong confirmation of your New Year's prophecy in 2005, as well as new warning. Keep you in prayer. Love from Keith and Judy. Okay? Now, this prophetic word that I'm going to be reading to you is from a man. Let me tell you about this man, where I believe that he is a real prophetic man. He is not like me. You know, I do the best I can. I do the best I can. This man sees clearly, but yet our prophecy still is imperfect, okay? He sees clearly. I tried to tell a story yesterday. I went to a service that he did. He did not know me. I did not know him. It was in 1997. And in 1997, his service was on the glory of God. I had just come into a great experience of the glory of God, and I wanted more, all right? I wanted more, and I was going to go get it. So I went, and I was dressed in a sweatshirt, and I was dressed in dungarees, you know, and I looked very sloppy because it was my day off, and that day I did take it, and I wanted to go listen to this man. His name is John Paul Jackson, okay? So this John Paul Jackson, you know, I went with kind of, a little doubt because, you know, I don't believe everything. So I went maybe not believing anything was too good was going to happen, but I was open. There was an openness in me because I needed more of this precious, precious presence of God. I needed more of it. And so I went to see if I could cash in on it so that I could deliver it to God's people. You see, it's all about delivering it to God's people. It's nothing to do with I need more of God's presence for myself alone. I'm not into it. Whatever I get, I give out. Okay? If I am not anything else, that is what I am. Whatever I get, I give out. That's my life. I wish it was not like that, honest to be, because I have been taken advantage of so many times. I could write the book about being taken advantage of. But whatever I get, I give out. All right? Some people like it, some people don't. It comes to an imperfect vessel, that's me. But anyway, I went to this service, and it was different than what I expected because, you know, here is this man in the front, looked like an all-American guy, you know, smile on his face, haircut, looked like a good American, speaking the word of God, and all of a sudden he starts prophesying over people, calling them out of the congregation and telling them things about themselves, not fortune-telling, and telling them about areas in their life that they needed to, you know, really pray about, you know, and he was right on with them. But, you know, I'm still a little skeptical because, you know what, you know, this might be a setup, okay? This might be a setup. But all of a sudden he points to me. And when he points to me, this is what he says. He says, brother, when you came in to this room, I saw a golden megaphone on your mouth. Well, I'm listening now because I'm on the radio. He doesn't know me. He says, and I see you in a little room, and the Lord wants you to know that in that little room, you're touching a lot of people. I don't know what it means. At that time, I was broadcasting at the WROL studios, which have been closed. I was in this little room facing the Saugus River. All right? And I'm thinking, you know, I want you to know you're touching a lot of people. Then he began to say things that, against his theology, because he's a Pentecostal, and he starts saying, "The Lord told me you are going to draw deeply from the ancient well of the church, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that many people would be healed through the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now, he doesn't know who I am. He doesn't know I'm a priest. Then he says, he begins by saying, "And the Lord shows me that you are generous. You give everything away. You give money away. You give your time away. You give food away. You give your life away. And the Lord is pleased with you because you do that." How would he know these things unless it was revealed? Then he says that there will be great suffering that you will endure. And they said, "You must now begin to pray for God's mercy, for you will suffer much." All right. I will tell you the last part of the prophecy continues to be real every day, believe me. Every day. Okay. Now, I know the guy is a prophet. Okay. I know he's a prophet. And because I know he's a prophet, I received this letter called the Prophetic Bulletin. And it's called The Coming of the Perfect Storm. I do want to comment on the things that he says, and I do want to talk about them. And if it takes me 3 months, I will do it, because you know what? We need to prepare. We need to prepare. It's time to prepare. I also want to make a disclaimer that our prophecies are imperfect, all right? Our prophecies are imperfect. That's what I want to make a disclaimer of. You know, this might be totally off the wall. And you know what? If it's totally off the wall, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? And if what I saw in 2005 is totally off the wall, hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? But if it's not, you know, and in 1997 I saw the Titanic sinking, and it was the world economic system. I saw that. I wasn't looking for that. And I saw the lifeboats in the water, in the cold water, and I knew it was the church, and they didn't know how to get the people on board when the Titanic was sinking, the world economic system, you know? So now we are in a world economic downfall. I don't know if you listen to the news. The world economy last month went down. The world economy, okay? I never even knew in 1997 that we were into a world economy, okay? I didn't have any idea. I'm just a simple person. I do the best I can. But that's what the Lord told me, okay, that the world economy was going to crash. And that when it crashed, the lifeboats was the church, and the church did not know how to get the people on board, for the most part, okay? And that this was the time to teach people how to get people on board. Okay, that's what I received. Now I'm going to tell you about what he received. And this is what he writes. "I write this letter, John Paul Jackson, with a heavy heart. I write to you, my partners, first because you have been faithful to this ministry. I also write to you because most of you will understand my heart in writing this sort of prophetic word. Finally, I write to you because of your faithfulness to this ministry. I believe you will be given wisdom by the Lord about how to process and potentially thrive in the coming perfect storm that is brewing in this nation and beyond. For as it says in the scripture, those who give to a righteous man receive a righteous man's reward, and those who give to a prophet receive a prophet's reward." And so, let's begin. And he says, five elements of the brewing perfect storm. As in the movie, The Perfect Storm, the storm I see coming to the United States is a combination of more than one element. And when the elements unite, the storm becomes exponentially more dangerous. However, unlike the movie, this storm is not just a storm of merging weather patterns. This storm is worse. It involves five different elements. 1, religion. 2, politics. 3, economics. 4, war. 5, geophysical events. All right. So what's he saying? He's saying that this perfect storm will involve five elements. The five elements will be religion, politics, economics, war, and geophysical events. At times, these five elements will be so intertwined that it will be difficult, if not impossible, to distinguish which events are driving particular manifestations of the storm. Massive problems in these five areas will come often or in combination and sometimes repeatedly, which means there will be massive problems of religion, politics, economics, war, and geophysical events. So what are geophysical events? They are earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes and things like that, okay? So what he says is the merging of these five problems will make things worse. It will not only be one problem with religion, another problem with politics, or another problem with economics. It will be the merging of these problems. Each element has potentially several events that will have national and international ripple effects. Some ripples will be worse than others, depending on where you live and how you make your living. Different areas of the United States will experience different severities. Some will experience more economic elements, others more geophysical elements. Some will experience all elements. That's religion, politics, economics, war, and geophysical events. Remember, it is the combination and the rapidity that will make the storm problematic. Okay, the combination of these factors. Okay, we are already seeing now in the United States a downtrend in the economy. We have a president that has spending within the next 5 years about $9 or $10 trillion. Okay, which means if you listen to the news people, that your children will be paying about $140,000 just in taxes to pay for the interest of this $10 trillion. Okay, this. And, you know, how many people have lost their jobs? How many people are looking for jobs that cannot find jobs? How many stores have closed? You don't have to be Dick Tracy to see that these things are happening in front of us. You know, I go to different places, I go to this store, it's closed. I go to this restaurant, it's closed. You know, why is it closed? People cannot pay their bills. They cannot keep up with what's happening, okay? Right now, it's just economic at this point, and it's political also. It's economic, and it's political. Our Blessed Mother said, and I'm going to tell you what our Blessed Mother said, that Russia would spread her errors to throughout the world. Through Obama, we see that happening. He is a socialist, and more than a socialist, he's hedging on communism. That's what he's hedging on. And he is spreading his errors throughout the world. And at least in the United States, you know, we saw a couple of weeks ago they were talking about a one-world government and a one-world monetary system, which only the cuckoo people used to talk about that in 1980. Only the cuckoo people. But now, it's not. I'm not saying it's reality. I am saying they're talking about it. And before anything happens, it's got to be an idea, and it's got to be talked about. Okay. This is reality, okay? This is reality. This is our president. Our president, the president of the United States, the ones that we elected. And I will say most Catholics and priests voted for this man. This is real. 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 And I have talked to priests, and you know what they say? You know, abortion is not the only issue. It is the primordial issue. Because if you don't have life, you don't have anything else. But you know what? You know, you just keep on voting for Obama. That's fine. He's going to help the poor. Don't hold your breath. Just don't hold your breath. Anyway, let's go back. This storm is worse when it involves these five elements: religion, politics, economics, war, and geophysical events. Now, also, this does not mean that all five elements will hit at the most devastating levels. For example, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, the element may strike at a 6, while another strikes at an 8. It is the particular combination of the elements, the proximity of each element, as well as the intensity of each element. Which elements? religion, politics, economics, war, and geophysical events, all right? Okay? It is the proximity of each element as well as the intensity of each element that will make this storm so difficult and seem to last so long. This storm will not be short-lived. It will come in waves, one right after another. Okay, so we continue. Why is the storm coming? The storm is coming because the church, the body of Christ, is no longer the backbone of this nation. That's true. In 1950s, the church was the backbone of the United States of America. And I will even say the Catholic Church was the backbone of the United States of America in 1950. I've often told you that the church and the state were one in 1950, in 1955. I've often told you that the bishops had great power when it came to issues in the House of Representatives and the Senate in our state and in the country. Because at least people wanted to be moral, okay? People wanted to be moral. And who were the moral people but the priests, the bishops, and the pastors? This is real. This is real. All this is gone. All this is gone. All this is gone. I can just tell you that as I have seen things throughout the United States of America, not much is being said by bishops. Not much is being said by priests. Not much is being said. Not much. Oh, yeah, they'll talk about, you know, open the borders for the Mexican people. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you, they don't say very much about the killing in abortion mills. They don't say very much. They don't say very much. I also want to tell you that St. Elizabeth Hospital, I'm going to tell you that's a Catholic hospital, has given abortion referrals. Okay? That's real. That's real. I want to also tell you that St. Elizabeth Hospital has given out birth control devices. That's real. That's real. Okay? You see, when you suck up to the state and you take money from the state, then you have to compromise your Catholic values. And I want to tell you, when you compromise your Catholic values, God washes his hands of you. When you compromise your Catholic values and your Catholic beliefs, God washes his hands. He washes his hands. Why? Because the church is called to be the light of the world. I want to say somebody like Cardinal O'Connell, remember him, beautiful man, O'Connor, in New York. Do you remember when the state of New York was saying things that he had to do in his schools and in his hospitals? Do you remember? I do. And you know what the man did? He said, fine, if we have to do these things, I will close them on Monday. Well, they soon changed their mind. You want to know why? Because that man was not going to compromise. He was a man of God, and he was a man that had a backbone. He was a man of God and a man that had a backbone. No one was going to stop him from saying what needed to be done. No one, no state was going to stop him from being Catholic. No state was going to cause him to have his hospitals and his schools compromised. No state. He said, I will close them next week. And you know what? If he did, it would have put a wrench in the machine, because who would be able to handle? But you see, he had courage. You see, there are some things worth living for and some things worth dying for. That man had courage. That man went out on a limb, and you want to know what? He won. We take Bishop Daley, who closed 3 abortion mills, because I'll tell you, the bishop has the fullness of the priesthood, not only in theory, but in reality, because he went out and did something. So I'm going to tell you, this storm is coming because the church, the body of Christ, is no longer the backbone of this nation. Well, I will continue on Monday to talk about that. And I need to tell you, if what I say makes you upset and angry, don't listen to me, please. You don't need to listen to me. There are other stations. Listen to some music. I have to warn the people as to what I see. You might not like what I say, but you know what? I don't like what I say either. but I feel compelled to say it. That's the way it is. I feel compelled to say it because not too many people are saying too much. And that's just real. That's just real. That's just real. Not too many people are saying too much. We went to the prayer service in front of the abortion mill the other day, okay? They might be coming to Brookline. And you know, when I went there, I want to tell you who I saw. Most of the people were our people. They're God's people. Yeah, they're our people. The people that have been at everything, that hear me on the radio. I'm going to tell you. They were the people that were there. They were the people that were there to stop another abortion mill from being there. They were the people that were there. You weren't seeing the people in the parishes, I'm going to tell you. You weren't seeing them, because they'll never be told. They were our people. They were our people, God's broken people. Whenever I go to something, you know, I'm not the only one that says this. Even Eric says, you know, I went to this thing, and Father Tom, they're all the people that come here. Yeah. Doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me. You want to know why? Because I'm a fool. I put my life on the line. Okay. We will continue on Monday. We will continue on Monday with the help of God. Because I will complete this if it takes me 3 weeks, and I think it's very important. Today at 3 o'clock, we are going to respond by coming into Holy Rosary Church, praying the Divine Mercy, and crying out for mercy. Crying out for mercy for our lives, for our church, for our government, for our country. 3 o'clock is the hour of our Lord died. 3 o'clock is the time of mercy. And at 3 o'clock, we will have a prayer and repentance at Holy Rosary. And if you want to come, you're welcome. If you can't come at 3 o'clock, wherever you are, begin to pray. Wherever you are, begin to pray. And ask for the mercy of God. Our Blessed Mother said that Russia would spread its errors. Russia is spreading its errors in the United States, even as I speak, and not many people will respond to that. I happen to believe in Fatima. Medjugorje, I have no idea. But Fatima is right on the money. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.